Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the 21st Sunday in Ordinary Time.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, I know their works and their thoughts, and I come to gather nations of every language. They shall come and see my glory. I will set a sign among them. From them I will send fugitives to the nations. To Tarshish, Put and Lud, Mosak, Tubal, and Javan, to the distant coastlands that have never heard of my fame or seen my glory, and they shall proclaim my glory from among the nations. They shall bring all your brothers and sisters from all the nations as an offering to the Lord, on horses and in chariots, in carts, upon mules and dromedaries, to Jerusalem, my holy mountain, says the Lord, just as the Israelites bring their offering to the house of the Lord in clean vessels. Some of these I will take as priests and Levites, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Go out to all the world and tell the good news.
Go out to all the world and tell the good news.
Praise the Lord, all you nations. Glorify him, all you peoples.
Go out to all the world and tell the good news.
For steadfast is his kindness toward us, and the fidelity of the Lord endures forever.
Go out to all the world and tell the good news.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, you have forgotten the exhortation addressed to you as children. My son, do not disdain the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He scourges every son he acknowledges. Endure your trials as discipline. God treats you as sons. For what son is there whom his father has not disciplined? At the time, all discipline seems a cause not for joy, but for pain. Yet later it brings the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. So strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees. Make straight paths for your feet, that what is lame may not be disjoined, but healed. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, will only a few people be saved? He answered them, Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, Lord, open the door for us. He will say to you in reply, I do not know where you are from. And you will say, We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets. Then he will say to you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers. And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west, and from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. Thank you for joining us as we prepare to discuss the readings for the 21st Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Brian, and you're here with Father Mark as well.
Hi, everyone.
And Dawn.
Hello.
And we were going to discuss these readings a little bit. Now, Father Mark, one of the things that struck me in these readings was this talk about the number of people who are going to be saved and how many people it's going to be. Is it going to be, 100,000 like we hear in the book of Revelation, or I think it's 144,000 actually? Or is it going to be everybody as we often hear? How do we know how many people are going to be saved? Do you have an answer to that question for us?
Well, I don't know. It is an interesting question to think about. And, when we ask the question, I think that the assumption is we're hoping that we are included in the few people that are saved, if that is in fact the answer to the question. But, you know, I mean, that we can think that we are saved because we belong to a certain group or a certain class. I'm a Christian and I'm saved, you know, and we can hear people say that. And certainly there is, you know, the whole passion and resurrection, what we call the Christ event, that certainly has implications for us and does bring salvation to our world and does save us. But I think what we have to remember too is that you and I are made as human beings. You know, God has created us and given us free will. And what is our response to that tremendous and generous gift of salvation that's been given to us freely and without any effort on our part? I think what is required is, what's my response to that? You know, how do I respond to this generous gift of salvation? Do I try to live a life that, you know, that God has called me to by being a good Christian? You know, the two commandments that Jesus says in John's gospel of loving God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and being, and loving your neighbor as yourself. If those are the two most important commandments that Jesus says, you know, I guess kind of asking those questions reflectively in our own lives, am I trying to live those? Am I striving to live that kind of life that Christ calls me to? And, you know, I guess that question becomes more important than am I saved, because salvation comes from Christ, but I have to have a response to that salvation as far as, you know, what kind of actions do I have in my life? Am I treating my neighbor kindly, and am I showing love to, you know, my neighbor, and am I, you know, showing my own love to God in my life too? So I think that it's important that we think about, well, how am I living my life in response to this wonderful gift of salvation that's been given to us?
And Don, did you have any thoughts or anything to add to any of Father Mark's comments?
Well, when you were talking about that, it gets a little bit away from the topic of today's gospel, but oftentimes when they talk about being saved as part of the Catholic Church, we hear the phrase already and not yet. And so I wondered if either one of you wanted to take a stab at explaining that.
Well, Don, I never pass up the opportunity to take a stab at something, so... what we're talking about here is that salvation has already occurred in the sense that Christ has already accomplished all that's necessary for salvation. And so that's what we mean when we say it's already happened. But then there's also this not yet aspect. And that's to point out that we're not in the beatific vision at the moment, that we're not in the presence of God. We're still here on earth. And what we need to do is we need to have some sort of a response to that salvation that's offered by Christ. And that's the not yet. The not yet is that we're not here in the presence of God. And so I think what we need to do is to ask ourselves, what is our response to that salvation? I think that's the key question here in the gospel today, because what's asked of Christ, it says, they asked him, how many will be saved? And Christ doesn't respond by saying, oh, it'll be 10,000, or it'll be 144,000, or by giving a number. Instead, what he says is what's necessary for salvation, and that's to go through the narrow gate. And Christ, of course, is that narrow gate. And narrow gates are difficult to get through, obviously. It'd be easier if he said go through the wide gate, but he says the narrow gate. And certainly if we try to follow Christ in our life, if we're really true to that, it is difficult to do because it's so countercultural. It's so against everything that we want because it means a lot of self-sacrifice. And so in that sense, I think that's the important question is how, not how many, but how do I go about being saved?
That's right. I was just thinking about the image. You know, Christ has such great imagery in the Gospels. You know, strive to enter through the narrow gate. And if any one of us think of a narrow gate, what are the things that could prevent us from getting through a narrow gate? You know, and we could certainly say obesity, but what, you know, if we think about obesity.
I thought you were going to say eating too many Oreos.
Exactly. What is it in my life that is preventing me from getting through the narrow gates? What is too big in my life that is preventing me from following Christ? You know, is it my own ego and my own selfishness? Is it my unwillingness to let go of something that won't allow me to follow Christ? You know, because we have so many wonderful expressions and teachings of Christ in the Gospels, and certainly there are going to be times when we hear those and they just rub us the wrong way, or we think, I can't do that, you know, and so something gets in the way of us going through that kind of narrow gate. And, you know, maybe the question is good for us to think about, you know, what's getting in the way of me going through the narrow gate?
I thought of you, Brian. Last year you gave a homily, or a reflection at St. Mary's, and you talked about the things that when you go through a metal detector. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, Don, what I did is I was talking about the story of getting into heaven being like passing a camel through the eye of a needle. And the eye of the needle is a gate in Jerusalem. And I said it's kind of like going through airport security to get into this kingdom of God, where when you come to the checkpoint in an airport, what happens is to get through this metal detector, you have to take off everything you own. You have to give away all your possessions and put it on the little conveyor belt thing. Then you have to take off your belt, your shoes, so that it's pretty much only you going through that metal detector at the end. And you can't bring all this baggage with you. And that was kind of the point I was trying to say, is a lot of times we cling to things, and those things prevent us from fully giving ourselves to God or to Christ. And what we need to learn is to detach ourselves from these things, because it makes it easier to get through that gate. So if Christ is the gate, what we need to do is we need to detach ourselves of stuff that will prevent us from passing through this narrow gate that is Christ, so that we can enter into the kingdom of God. We need to get rid of all the baggage that holds us back. And so that was the image that I was using in that reflection.
One of the other things I like about this passage, to us it probably doesn't stand out because we weren't there at the time, but here Jesus is talking to people who are Jewish, and he's saying that people are going to come from the east and the west and the north and the south, and who are going to be in the kingdom of God. And for people there hearing it, they would probably be mortified almost, because they felt that they were the only people that were going to be at this in this kingdom of God.
Yeah, that's right. He's opening up the whole kingdom of God understanding to the Jewish community. You know, their understanding, of course, as the chosen people, is that they are the only ones kind of privileged to enter the narrow gate. And he's saying, you know, it's not just about the fact that you belong to a certain group, but it's about how you live your life in loving God and loving neighbor. And that's what he's trying to say to them, you know, so that it's not just a certain class or a group of people, but it's going to be opened up to everyone. You know, that last line, that some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. So, you know, I just love the way he kind of turns the whole understanding of God and kingdom and following and discipleship upside down, so that they have to really kind of grapple to understand what it is that he's trying to teach.
Yeah, and I think that that's an important thing. And it really brings us to that second reading, because a lot of times we do have to, you struggle to really understand why Christ teaches what he's teaching, or even sometimes his teachings can be very difficult for us to live out in our daily life, because they involve a lot of self-sacrifice, and you sit here and say, well, why would I want to do that? And St. Paul says that it's a form of discipline, and he says, of course, nobody likes discipline when they're first disciplined. It seems like a cause for, you know, groaning rather than a cause for rejoice. But a lot of times we find ourselves thankful that we have been disciplined in the future, because we sit here and say it helps us better cope with life. It prepares us for things. And the same is true in the spiritual life. We need to discipline ourselves through, you know, fasting, through prayer, through the sacraments. And that discipline, at times it might not seem like it's paying dividends in the present moment, but over the course of time, it'll make us better people, and it'll bring us closer to God, closer to Christ, and make us so that we can pass through that narrow gate with ease. And that's the reason that we need to worry about this discipline and discipline our lives, is so that we can pass through that narrow gate with ease.
I think you're right with this whole idea of discipline. You know, I was thinking of kind of like perseverance in as we strive to enter through the narrow gate, maybe it purges us of some of the things that, of the baggage and the excess things that we need to get rid of that are maybe hindering our relationship with God and not allowing us to be, real authentic followers of Christ. And, maybe as time goes on, that gate may even get a little narrower because we've still got more things to kind of rid ourselves of to help us to become more authentic followers, so that finally, the finality of it all is that you finally enter into that open field of, true discipleship of, being a follower, being very authentic and real as a follower of Christ, and not having anything get in the way of your relationship. So that discipline becomes extremely important, so that we can have that kind of stick-to-it power that allows us to really look at ourselves honestly and openly and deeply, and really try to rid ourselves of the things that are getting in the way of our discipleship.
And I'm seeing that we've reached the end of our allotted time for our podcast. So I thank you, Father Mark and Don, for joining us, and all of you who are listening. And I hope that you found this conversation beneficial and will join us next week on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.